Our New Testament passage today comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. It's a little bit longer passage, but in looking at it, I thought it was worth reading the entire thing instead of cutting it short halfway through. So, Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. And this parable comes from one of the last sets of teachings of Jesus before Holy Week. And, this is one of the passages that oftentimes is looked at during Lent, but it also was one that was just perfect for this message today. So I encourage you to listen to these words. If you have your Bibles, follow along. Maybe you can highlight something if something stands out to you. But hear now the word of our Lord. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those who are on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not clothe me, or you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." And they also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God today. Well, although we are still in the season of Easter, which is why I'm not sure if you paid close attention, but our opening prayer, our opening hymn, and even the song that Emily sang, all are very much Easter parts of worship. It all talks about the resurrection. That's because we are still in the great 50 days of Easter. The Easter celebration will continue until the day of Pentecost. And oftentimes during this time period, we spend time looking at the post-resurrection encounters with Jesus. The walk to Emmaus, the Jesus appearing before the disciples, first without Thomas and then with Thomas there, and then also the breakfast by the lakeside, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. But you all have heard those sermons many times. You've heard those sermons probably almost every single year. And I had started a series that I called a semi-continuous series several weeks back, and I thought that this would be a good time to finish up that series. So this week and next week, we're going to be looking at the last two sermons in the series that I was calling Foundation of a Healthy Church. Hopefully you'll remember, I hope your memories aren't that short, but you'll remember that when we were looking at the different elements of this series before, we were talking about those things which are necessary for a church to be a healthy Christian community and not just a social club that meets once or twice a week. We talked about the importance of keeping Christ at the center of everything that we do, keeping God at the forefront of everything we do, remembering that we're not just a club or a business, we are a community of believers. We talked about some of the important foundational doctrines which are necessary for us to truly be called a church. If we are going to truly be able to be identified as a part of the church of Christ, then we must hold to those foundational doctrines. We talked about the importance of discipleship, the importance of Christian community, both in our local setting and beyond our local setting. There's something else that I believe is very important for us to be considered truly Christians and truly a part of the church, and that is this element of community outreach. You know, we talked about the importance of doctrine, and that is very, very important. If you don't have the key doctrines of the faith locked in, then you don't belong to the faith. You know, those key essential doctrines that we outlined are those which set us apart from every other religion in the world. And most importantly, faith in Jesus Christ is how we get our salvation. That's one thing that's very important. We know this, that salvation comes through faith alone. It doesn't come through good works. But yet, a friend of mine, a fellow pastor, likes to often point out the fact to me that Jesus spent the majority of his time preaching not solely about doctrine, although if you look at his parables and his many teachings, there are doctrinal teachings in there. But Jesus spends a lot of time talking about how we are to treat one another. He spends a lot of time talking about how we are to behave as people who are a part of the kingdom of God. And when we get a little bit later into the epistles, we see that some of the apostles focus more on the doctrine and some focus more on the works. But as James points out in the book of James, which those in the Bible study, we were looking at this just this past Wednesday, we reviewed this. It's the fact that you need both. You need faith. Salvation comes through faith alone. But James makes the argument, how can you have faith and also not have the works that Jesus tells you to do? He says, I will show you my faith by my works. And it's a part of that, they'll know we are Christians by our love. The things that we do are not what saves us. It's how we prove to ourselves, prove to the world, and ultimately prove to Jesus that we are sincere in what we say we believe. And so today I want to look at the important nature of community outreach. Because faith is essential. If you don't have faith, you won't be saved. But for those of us who have more of a Christian life than just a deathbed confession and, you know, one moment we accept Jesus Christ and the next moment we're in heaven with him, which I believe happens, look at the criminal on the cross. It was faith that he had, not works. But for those of us who have the chance, have the opportunity to live a Christian life, then we must ask ourselves, how are we to be set apart from those around us? As we look at this passage from Matthew chapter 25, we find a very big part of that answer. We see Jesus telling this parable of in the end days, at the final judgment, Jesus separating those who proved their faith and those whose faith was only surface deep. We see this list of things that Jesus outlines. Feeding the hungry. Clothing the naked. Caring for the sick and imprisoned. And we start to see the things which are necessary for the larger missional life of the church. So as a church, we have two missions, and we spend some time talking about this in our sermon on missional outreach. We looked at the fact that, or I guess evangelistic outreach is what I called that one. Missional outreach, that'll be next week. We are supposed to share the gospel with others, but there are times in which sharing the gospel is more than just preaching to people. It is being the hands and feet of Christ in our communities. As we look to the purpose of the church in the community, we talked about this in one of our earlier sermons as well. Yes, we are here to be the light of Christ in our community. We are to share the love of Christ. We are to share the gospel. We are also here to be the hands and feet of Christ by reaching out in the community and caring for our fellow human being. We are called to serve Christ by serving others. And we see this in the early church. When we come to the beginning of the book of Acts, we see that in the very beginning, aside from the preaching, what set the church apart was their willingness to care for the less fortunate around them. We see them caring for the widow and the orphan. If you think back to the Old Testament, this was something that God had asked of his people going all the way back to the forming of the covenant at Mount Sinai. We often think of the Old Covenant, the covenant at Mount Sinai, the covenant of the Jews, as being one of ritual and sacrifice and maintaining a semblance of a relationship with God until the day that the Messiah could come. And yes, that is a very big part of it. But if you notice, looking back at the Old Testament laws, there were also whole chapters upon chapters of laws of how they were not only to treat their fellow Israelite, but that they were how they were to treat the stranger in their land. We have the instruction to landowners that once you're done harvesting, don't go back and pick through your field a second and third time to make sure you get every last ounce of grain. Leave some for the less fortunate, for the widow, the foreigner, the orphan, to go back so that they won't go hungry. And we see built into the foundation of the Israelite people's nation, the nation of Israel, and then later the nations of Israel or Samaria and Judea. But they were to care for those who could not care for themselves. And we see the same thing when we get to the New Testament. So when we look at the differences between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, some of the, the biggest obvious change is the ritual. We're not called to sacrifice 20 million animals every year so that we don't burn in hell. Which I, as a minister who under the Old Covenant would have been called a priest, I'm very thankful that that's not a part of my job. But one thing that does not change from Old Covenant to New Covenant is our calling to show mercy and compassion and care for those who are around us. As we look out into our community, there are many who are in need. There are those in our community who are hungry today and won't get anything to eat. There are those in our community today whose clothes are full of holes and ragged, and they desperately need a new piece of clothing to keep them warm at night. There are those who are homeless, who are living in tents, who are living in temporary shelters, and who are some who are just finding a corner where they can tuck themselves out of the wind overnight. There are those who are sick and imprisoned, who are lonely, and who are looking for someone to show them the love of Christ. And as Christians, it's easy to pick the things that are glamorous, pick the things that we like to do and say, well, we'll do this and we'll leave that for somebody else to do. And we're very good at that. We pick our pet projects, which are very good ministries. Don't let me take that away. But we pick certain parts of the gospel, and it's like, yes, we will welcome anybody in the doors that want to come. We will show our love to others. We will share the gospel with others. We will even send money to distant places or even nearby places so that others can do work. And while all of those things are very important, they are. Don't misunderstand me today. All of those things are crucial parts of the ministry of our church and of other churches. But at the same time, we are called to do more. A question has been posed by multiple people, both within and outside of this church, of if we were to close our doors tomorrow, would anybody even notice? Would people notice if we suddenly ceased to exist? Sure, they might notice that the building isn't being kept up, that people aren't coming here once or twice a week. They might notice the empty parking lot, but would our community be impacted at all if we were no longer here? Would they realize that the impacts that we do have are actually ours? I don't say that to say we need to seek the glory all the time, because we shouldn't. You know, we should give the glory to God 100%. But my question for you to think about are, what are the ways that we are called to reach out into our community? We know some of those things already, and we're doing them. And I praise you for it. I saw a great example of this just this past week. But there's always more that God is calling us to do. Now, you all are better at it than some churches I've been at. I will let you know that. I will give credit where credit is due. You guys do more in this community than some churches that I've been a part of. Some churches I've been a part of, people honestly didn't even know that it was a church. There was one church that I was at that the outside of the building wasn't kept up very well. In fact, the covers over the stained glass had yellowed, and everyone just thought that building was a warehouse, and they couldn't name one thing that church did for the community. That's not you all. And I want to reassure you of that. But there are times when we will get weary and we will say, we just wanted a break. We don't want to do this anymore. And it's okay to find that rest, but we must be careful not to let rest turn into apathy. We can't get comfortable with just being the sometimes church. We must every day be thinking about what is God asking us to do for our neighbors? What is God asking us to do in our community? How are we being called to reach out into the community, show them the love of Christ, both in our actions and what we say, and what we say and what we do? Because what makes the difference is not the random act of kindness, which is very important. Those random acts of kindness are very important. What makes the long-term difference is not those random acts of kindness, is the consistent reaching out into the community and being the hands and feet of God. I know you guys have done that before, and you guys do it now. My question for you to consider would be, is there anything else God is calling us to do? And if so, what is it? Brothers and sisters, if we are going to be a healthy church, if we are going to be a lasting church, then we must be not only an island in the community, but we must be a key part of the community. Preaching, absolutely, that's important. Don't get me wrong there. Don't misunderstand me. Just because I'm emphasizing one thing today doesn't mean any of the other things are not important. But how are we called to be a part of this community? And so as you go forth today, I encourage you to think about that, pray about that. How is God calling you, and how is God calling us to reach out into the community to be the sheep? To feed the hungry. Care for the sick and imprisoned. Shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, and in all ways show them the love of God in everything that we do.